This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying tuned. This is the Morning Run, 7:48, Monday, the 18th of July. And over the weekend, Parti Keadilan Rakyat, or PKR, held its 16th National Congress. This was the first in-person gathering of party faithful since the outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic. And the conference marked the changing of guard between the old and new leaders following a contentious party election.
That was marred by voting irregularities. Now, the party also unveiled the 20 members of its central leadership committee, which is dominated by delegates aligned with Deputy President Rafizi Ramli. They secured 13 out of the 20 seats. Now, all eyes will be on the strategy of the party moving forward and whether President Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim and his mercurial deputy can work together.
So can the factions within PKR bury the hatchet and stage a comeback for GE15? For analysis on the outcome of this, we speak to Dr. James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania. Good morning, James. Now, even before GE15 campaigning has started, or even before it's been announced the date, it seems that Anwar and Rafizi have very different approaches. So first off, will this actually split the party apart rather than unite it?
So my main takeaway is that the party is not split. It's just that at the very top, there's a difference of opinion about what is the strategy moving forward. But before we discuss that, maybe we need to step back and see what were the key outcomes. I think by and large, the Congress was quite successful. A lot of people before this thought that there would be open revolt and what have you. But what we saw was quite a peaceful transfer of power back to Rafizi Ramli. It's really not new people coming in. A lot of the people that you saw coming in were basically people who have been in PKR for a very long time. Not least Rafizi himself. As you know, he himself stepped back from politics after the legal problems he had. So this is very much an old group coming back. Secondly, I think we saw that it was very clear that Anwar is still in full control of PKR. He's the undisputed boss of PKR. And also, as you mentioned earlier, Rafizi's gang or his group is now the majority among the leadership, but it is not a clear majority. There are some few Anwar people there. But the biggest problem is that we don't see any big momentum coming out of the Congress. There was no big ideas. So personally, I would have liked PKR to come out with a clear vision for GE15, offering Malaysians a clear choice between PKR or PH and Barisan Nasional. The reason is because this is probably the last party, big party Congress before GE15. And it seems that nothing really has come out. What we saw in terms of press coverage and all the talk was these big differences between Anwar and Rafizi. Anwar, of course, believes in the big tank approach, and Rafizi believes that they need to narrow their approach. Basically, PH goes in along with selected parties for GE15. So unfortunately, I was looking for a big momentum to come out of the party congress, but that didn't happen.
Well, honestly, I mean, you contrast it with UMNO. It's relatively considered successful, right, that you really didn't have any big controversies blow up. I mean, just being able to come out from the congress unscathed without any big fissures, it would be considered a success, right?
It would be, but you have to remember, because as I mentioned earlier, this is the last congress before the big GE. People were looking for PKR to be very united, have a united strategy coming GE15, and we didn't see that. You have to remember, right, this fits into UMNO or Barisan Nasional's game plan. As you know, the only thing they're selling on the Barisan side, there's actually nothing for them to sell other than political stability. So I was hoping that PKR will come up with a very, very clear statement on the strategy, plus the sort of reforms that they will bring to Malaysia. Because we know that Malaysia is facing a lot of fundamental problems, and none of these problems will be resolved if UMNO comes back to power. And we did not see that. So that was unfortunate.
Okay, James, I want to go back to this big momentum in terms of what is their strategy for GE15. But I do note two points, one of which is Rafizi says they need to continue their attacks on ex-Prime Minister Dato' Sri Najib. And the other one was Anwar making an announcement about the fact that all subsidies should continue. What do you make of these? I mean, are they substantial in any way, or do they just want to appease the grassroots?
Well, these are not real strategies. I mean, you talk about attacking Najib. The reality is that if you look at surveys and also the results of the recent Malacca and Johor elections, right? Najib and 1NDB really doesn't sell anymore. Don't ask me why. It's crazy that Malaysian public has sort of moved beyond 1NDB. is getting very popular despite all the things that he's spinning around. Attacking Najib is not gonna do the trick. I think the trick with the Malaysian public coming out of pandemic, 2 years of difficulty, is that you have to offer Malaysia a very clear vision of what you want Malaysia to be. Because on the Barisan national side, they're not offering a vision. All they're offering is political stability. They're saying that we have too much political instability the last few years. If you look at the rule of the Barisan National for the first 60 years, we have political stability. So they're not selling anything new. In fact, they're selling going back in time. So that's the reason why I said that if Pakatan hopes to win, they really need to come up with a very clear vision. Just like 2018, basically the idea was to take Malaysia out of kleptocracy and move Malaysia to a new level. So, and that sort of worked for them. So this time they don't have any of that. So
James, which begs the question, why don't they have one?
Well, I think they don't have one was because there was this, this perceived big differences between Anwar and Rafizi. I think if you look at it carefully, I think both of them obviously want to win elections. The big difference is how do you go about it? So I was a bit surprised they couldn't come to an agreement about the key parts of the strategy. The other thing I thought that was very strange was that while this was going on, right, the other two or three players in Pakatan, which is basically APCO, DAP and AMANA, they were all very, very quiet. What we saw was the DAP Secretary General after the Congress made a very strange statement that it may be we have to think about post-GE to form a coalition together. But that is exactly what Barisan's strategy is. They're going to go in alone and they're going to build a coalition to see who wins and who loses. They're going to build a coalition. Now, if Pakatan is going to do the same thing, right, then we are back to square one.
So, James, should the vision and strategy focus on targeting UMNO fence-sitters or should it speak to the younger, newer voters?
I think in terms of the older voters, my impression of the older voters is that they've more or less decided who they're going to support. You have to go after the new voters. You have to offer them a clear vision of what you want Malaysia to be like post-GE15 and how this is very different from what UMNO and Barisan Nasional is offering. You need to find a strategy which tells the people political stability doesn't mean you go back to pre-2018. My personal take for what it's worth is that if Malaysia goes back to pre-2018, then we are a country in big, big trouble.
Okay, and James, let's talk about the third in line. Okay, so we know Rafizi clearly in position number two. But when you look at the other candidates the leadership contest, what does it tell you about PKR's party, especially in the future, actually?
So PKR, to me, right, they're still attracting a lot of young activists. A lot of young activists, despite all the market talk about moving to Muda, is not true. A lot of young activists still believe in PKR's view of multiracialism. But I won't worry too much about the so-called third layer after Rafizi. The important thing is that you have to win elections first. If you don't win the elections, then PKR is going to stay in the opposition for the next 10 years. And I'm not sure Malaysia as a country can go without fundamental reforms in the next 10 years. That is the thing that worries me, rather than who is going to be the leader after Rafizi.
Okay. Will you see a radical change in the candidates that they are going to be contesting in GE15 from PKR?
That will happen, obviously. PKR will be contesting a lot more seats now that they don't have Bersatu with them. So obviously, that's going to open up a lot of additional seats. It's not a question of new candidate. It's a question of what vision are you offering? If you've got no vision, if you've got nothing to offer the people, unlike if you look at 2018, right, it doesn't matter who you put out. Basically, you're offering the country a post 1MDB thing. You're basically offering the country, you say you want to, get rid of kleptocracy, get rid of Najib, and then we form a new clean government. So you offer a very clear vision. All I'm saying is that you don't have that after this Congress. Yeah. And I find it very surprising because, as you know, right, this is obviously the last big, big party Congress before the GE15.
So no vision. Do you think then the opposition MOU with the government will be extended?
The opposition obviously will be hoping the government will sign up. But my take is that the government probably may not be able to sign up because there's tremendous pressure on Ismail Sabri not to sign up. But even if he signs up, that doesn't mean the government will keep to it. Because the way it works with the MOU is that it's a political agreement. And political agreements are all, nicely, they're all made out of toilet paper.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Dr. James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania.
Not mincing words.
Not mincing words. What's one tiny bit? And questioning why PKR doesn't have a big message with regards to how they're going to address or at least campaign for GE15.
As you say, right, two differing strategies about how you do it. You know, Anwar taking that big tent approach, Rafizi saying, look, let us make sure we clear the decks and we clear who are we going to get. So I'm quite intrigued to know who is going to be contesting, how are they going to select candidates?
Yeah, that's my question to James. But his point is, if you don't even have a strategy, it doesn't really matter which candidates you field. But up next, we've got the breakfast grill where Philip C will be speaking to Andrew Tan, Group Managing Director of Silver Lake Axis. Up next, of course, the 8 a.m. News Bulletin. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.